Good day, and welcome to the Arnacap Q3 2021 financial results release conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Eric Barratt. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, John. First of all, good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for taking the time to join us on the call this afternoon. Justin, Ed, and I will take you through the presentation, and then we'll open the line for the Q&A at the end. Before we begin, can I please draw your attention to the disclaimer on page one of the presentation, and in particular, the comments regarding forward-looking statements. I'll now pass on to Justin Soldier for the Q3 highlights.
Thanks, Eric, and good afternoon to everyone joining us today. I'm very pleased to report another strong quarter, further consolidating a post-COVID recovery, which continues to gain momentum. Collections in Q3 were almost 64% higher than the same quarter last year, with year-to-date collections now 20% higher on the prior year. Although we maintain ambitious targets for Q4, we believe the business is now firmly on track to achieving its full-year target of 114 million collections, further validating our post-COVID reforecasts, which delay the timing of expected recoveries, but we're able to look through to a heavily collateralized real estate secured asset base, underpinning a still growing base of collections embedded in the back book. While maintaining tight cost control with a total operating cost ratio of just 30.4%, adjusted EBITDA for the nine months year to date reached 54.9 million at the end of Q3. With strong free cash flow driving ample liquidity, the company also continued to take advantage of increasingly attractive opportunities emerging post-COVID, deploying another 27 million euros in Q3 at an aggregate money multiple of 2.2x over 84 months. In doing so, we remain highly selective, continuing to pursue approximately one out of every 10 transactions in our pipeline, where the focus remains firmly on cherry-picking secured NPLs in well-known geographies such as Italy, as well as real estate across a range of geographies, including the U.K. and France, adding not only additional high-quality assets, but also enhanced diversification away from our traditionally Southern Europe-heavy portfolio. Overall, Q3 performance continued to accelerate deleveraging with net debt to last 12 months adjusted EBITDA now at 4.9x and now expected to decrease below 4x by this calendar year-end. As mentioned previously, this includes ambitious targets for Q4, but with a strong start already, we are confident that the company will beat deleveraging targets, which we previously expected to achieve only later next year. While we do expect to continue to increase deployment through year-end and into next year, you will see the company also continues to expect a rising base of predominantly real estate secured collections already embedded in the business through at least 2024. This is even before, of course, completing further deployment during that period. I'll now turn it back over to Eric. Or sorry, I'll turn it over to Ed for more detail on our performance.
Thank you, Justin. Another strong quarter marking a period of seven successive quarters where the asset management has generated cash collections in excess of targets. We've continued to drive very strong performance in Italy and Spain, highly consistent performance across France, U.K., and Central Eastern Europe. The only area of underperformance has been Portugal, which is purely timing driven, and the results achieved on individual assets at a line level basis actually exceeded expectations. Summarizing the highlights in each geography, Italy, 40.4 million of collections year to date, 10.1 million ahead of target. The investments we've made in our local asset management platform have continued to drive results. Outperformance in the year has been driven by intensive focus on cash in court, amicable collections, and targeted mini portfolio sales, where we've leveraged our network in Italy to maximize recoveries on sub-portfolios of our unsecured book. Year to date, this program has delivered 2.5 million of outperformance to ERC expectations. Further targeted sub-portfolio sales are anticipated over the remainder of the year, supported by our digital platform, Minerva, which enables us to define the most optimal strategy per segment. Across France, U.K., and CEE, performance was highly consistent, 8.9 million year to date, $0.2 million ahead of target. Our overall performance has been very resilient across our performing consumer book in the UK, and rental income from our direct real estate investments across UK and France has tracked in line with expectations. Our performance has been driven from our portfolio in Romania, where our proactive marketing campaign on real estate assets continues to deliver positive results. In Spain, 10.7 million cash collections year to date, 2.4 million above target. The expanded team continues to deliver cash collections results that are substantially above the benchmarks achieved by independent third-party services. And the forensic intensive approach to the management of the legal processes is resulting in cash collections figures that are almost twice as high on an entirely equivalent segment placed with an independent third party. During Q4, we'll continue this focus on forensic engagement with courts, proactive marketing of our real estate portfolio, and progressing an increasingly large pipeline of amicable resolutions. In Portugal, the underperformance has been driven by a lockdown in the Portugal courts, which were closed between mid-January and mid-April. Courts reopened during Q2, though it's taken through Q3 to return to capacity given the natural summer slowdown in Portugal. But the shortfall in cash collections, as I said, is purely timing driven. And where we have resolved assets over the course of the year, we've delivered collections at an individual line level that have on average been 4% ahead of expectations, capitalizing on the favorable dynamics in the Portugal real estate market. Turning over the page, page 8, a breakdown of our ERC composition. Our ERC base is increasingly diverse by geography, still focused on our core southern European markets of Italy, Spain and Portugal, but with increasing diversification across other markets, including the UK and France. Similarly, by asset type, with our portfolio increasingly diverse across secured NPL, unsecured NPL, as well as direct real estate, mitigating the impact of any particular legal risks in a given market. And the strength and depth of our asset management platform continually evidencing positive results across all these different asset classes. I'll now hand over to Eric to walk through financial highlights.
Thank you, Ed. I will now quickly cover the financial highlights, turning to page 10 of the presentation. So the group had a strong financial performance for the quarter and the 9 months ending 30th of September. The group can report the best quarter of collections since Q1 2020 with 29.3 million collected in the quarter. This brings year-to-date gross attributable collection to 74.1 million, which is a 20.2% increase compared to last year and a 7.7% higher than the target that we set at the December 2020 reforecast. Revenues for the first half were 46.4 million, which was 5% lower than last year, but adjusted EBITDA was 55.9, which is 46.5% above last year. On deployment, as Justin mentioned, APE deployed 27.2 million in Q3 with a year-to-date deployment of 55.5 million, averaging more than 1.9 gross money multiple. The two deals closed in the quarter included the purchase of an office building in Paris and a shopping center in Liverpool, both in a JV with the Anacap Credit Fund 4. The closed deals in the quarter have an expected gross money multiple of around 2.2 times. These deployments resulted in a growth of ERC to 502 million, which is a 5.4% growth compared to last year, and a 6.6% growth in net debt to 346 million. Turning to page 11. So with the best collection performance since Q1 2020 and a 64% increase in collection versus the prior year, the company has been able to generate strong cash flows in the quarter. The strong collection performance combined with lower total operating costs translated in a 24.8 million adjusted EBITDA for the quarter, which is 150% above Q2 2020. Even with the significant increase in collection in Q3, the company maintained a very attractive cost structure with the low operating expenses. The total operating cost ratio decreased to 30.4%, down from 37.7% the previous year. For the computation of the cost ratios, we use core collections, which differs from gross to real collections used for ERC. A reconciliation for Q3 collections is on page 20 of the presentation. Now turning to page 12. The graph represents the 84-month ERC walk compared to the December 20 reforecast. As you can see, the acceleration of collections has been completely compensated by new ERC from deployment and resulted in an increase in ERC to 502 million. Turning to page 13, the company reduced leverage to 4.9 times as of Q3 and is expected to continue to decrease below 4 by the end of the year and around 3.5 times in 2022. As at the end of Q3, the LTV ratio continued to decrease to 68.9% compared to 75% for the RCF covenant. LTV is expected to decrease further and is expected to finish the year at around 67.5%. On the liquidity front, we had 69.3 million of liquidity as at the end of Q3. This, combined with our target collection of 40 million in Q4, means that we have sufficient liquidity to fund deployment opportunities for the rest of the year. As an update on the RCF, I'm happy to report that on the back of our strong performance, the three existing RCF lenders have agreed to the extension of the facility to December 2023. Two banks are fully credit approved, and the third bank is refreshing an approval they had obtained earlier this year. We are aiming to sign the amendment by the end of November. I will now hand over to Justin for the strategic outlook.
Thanks, Eric. Now turning to slide 15, I'll touch base on the pipeline further before turning it over to questions. Our current executable pipeline, that is where we have already undertaken at least preliminary analysis such that we believe there's a transaction to be done with a willing seller, totals circa 600 million euros in potential deployment. We clearly only expect to ultimately complete a fraction of that, historically circa 10%, some of which will no doubt carry into early next year. In doing so, we are continuing to try to cherry pick, deploying capital only where we believe we are achieving exceptional risk-adjusted returns. As you can see, the aggregate money multiple on the 55 million euros of deployment year to date is over 1.9 times in aggregate. This includes a highly selective approach to secured NPLs in Italy, where a strong network and long track record of successful execution continues to drive both primary and notably increasing secondary opportunities. In direct real estate, we also remain highly selective, continuing to target high quality assets in top locations where liquidity is expected to remain strong, but where we can unlock mid-market sized opportunities for motivated sellers, often where there is liability driven distress rather than fundamental asset quality issues. The pipeline continues to include opportunities in markets where we have extensive track record in secured NPLs, such as Italy and Spain, but also increasingly in well-known geographies such as the UK and France, where we have further enhanced diversification across not only asset types, but geographically as well. We remain cautious on the outlook for a sharp near-term spike in NPL volumes, given the relatively benign current backdrop for credit. We are confident in our ability to continue to deploy sufficient capital at exceptionally high returns to achieve our business plan over the short and medium term. At this point, I'll turn it over to questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star followed by one. That is star one if you wish to queue for a question. We'll pause for a brief moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. Once again, that is star one. If you wish to queue for a question, star one. We will take our first question from Viral Shah of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the presentation. I just had a quick question. On page 7, I can kind of see your YTD numbers, but Q3, could you tell me what was collections as a percent of ERC, essentially, just for Q3?
Yes, so Q3 collections were 8% ahead of forecast for the quarter. So it's 29.1 versus 27.0.
29.1 versus 27.0. Got it. Perfect. Thanks. That's all I had.
Once again, that is star one. If you wish to queue for a question, star one. And it appears we have no further questions over the audio at this time. Apologies,
happy
we have
another
two
step.
Questions.
Yeah, why don't we give them another minute? Yeah, go ahead.
Perfect. We have Karen Miles in the queue from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Sorry, I couldn't let you go away with one question. So let me just one quick one for me. So I appreciate you guys brought the revised curve out on slide 12. I was just wondering, and forgive me if I missed this in somewhere in your reporting, like how much of this were you is this a write-up of your existing book where you're overperforming or you have, you know, more positive forecasts for the near term, and or how much of it is just the new stuff that you've bought? I don't know if that's split anywhere or you can give a sense of sort of how you're thinking about your outperformance going forward.
Yes, so currently this revision to the ERC principally reflects new purchases. There's no write-up in ERC levels at this point in time.
Okay, thank you.
We'll now move on to our next question from Ryan Flew of Warwick Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Just on deployment, so I know at the start of the year you guys had a couple of times referred to sort of a target of 100 million and that the timing of when that was deployed might move it around. But and again, noting you've got a pipeline here of 600 million, are you able to sort of give guidance on how you see that 100 million now going into Q4 and maybe Q1 of next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of actual timing of deployment itself, will likely fall short of that budget in the calendar year, but I think the visibility to closing the gap from around 60 to, I think, 95 million was the target. We expect to have a lot of that, if not signed, in quite advanced stages of completion by the end of the year. There are a number of investments we've been working on that have elements of deployment over time, i.e. an element of deferral or future funding requirements. So we think we'll embed a significant, if not all, of our current business plan before the year end. But then, yes, indeed, a significant amount of our pipeline, given where we are in the year, we do expect to carry over into the new year. We still may still maintain a budget that should step up incrementally next year, probably to somewhere between 100 and 125 to be finalized again through the end of the year. Obviously, we'll refresh that as we go over year end in our budgeting. But we still think a further uptick next year, where the business currently has ample liquidity still to see that through. I think there is an opportunity potentially to exceed that should, in particular, NPL's volumes increase in a significant way. And we are starting to see some more emerging pipeline, but some of the pipeline we're currently working on the NPLs, if not on the NPL side, if not secondary, are actually portfolios that have been around for a long time and are finally coming back to the market, maybe previously failed to sell or pulled during the COVID period from sale. We are seeing some institutions try to get back on track with some of those legacy sales. So encouraging signs, but I wouldn't say a flood of activity as yet. Obviously, you've probably seen in the market relatively benign reporting, if anything, continue releasing of provisions from most banks.
Got it. That makes good sense. Thanks for that, Colin. Just to be clear, that's sort of, and subject to revised numbers and things, 100 to 125 for next year, inclusive of any overspill from this year that didn't.
Yeah, I think with the overspill coming into next year, we'd probably come out at the high end of that range, because I think we'll, you know, if say 25 to 30 million spills over to next year, I think that would mean we likely have a forecast firmly at around the top end of that 125. Type range.
Got it. Perfect. That's great. And then much appreciated. And just one more from me. Did I hear correctly that the leverage target for the end of the year is 4 times, but that you're targeting for the end of 2022 to be around 2.5 times? Is that right?
No. Before the end of the year, we expect to be below 4 times. And next year, we'd expect to be around or below 3.5 in 2022.
3.5. Okay. Sorry, apologies. Perfect. I've got that. Great. Thank you.
Once again, that is star one to queue for a question. Star one. And it appears we have no questions in the queue at this time.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for joining us.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.